Well, last week we started a six-week series called His Mission, My Mission. I want to thank you for praying for our group in Israel. I'll show you a quick picture of our group. There was 23 of us, and we are overlooking Jerusalem, the city. That's the Dome of the Rock there on the Temple Mount area. Behind us, that gold thing at the top is not the temple. It's actually a Muslim place. But we were able to be together, and we got to see some amazing things. We had four of the group that got baptized in the Jordan River, and what a blessing that was. And so thank you so much for praying. I want to say thank you to Pastor Brian for preaching last week here and starting our series on His Mission, My Mission. So you see this behind us on the stage. And every week we're going to add a different word of the six-week series of what the mission of Jesus looks like and what, therefore, our mission should be like. Now, last week, Brian talked about selfishness and how to become selfless, and he used the example of Zacchaeus. And so our group in Israel, we went to Jericho, and we actually found the sycamore tree that Zacchaeus was in. We have a picture of that. There it is. And we actually know it's the Zacchaeus tree because at the bottom it says Zacchaeus was here. So anyway, we know that. Or something like that. So you know what I'm talking about. But this morning we're going to talk about the mission of Jesus in defeating temptation. That when you are on mission with Jesus with your life, you have to deal with the enemy. You have to deal with opposition. You have to deal that Satan has an agenda for your life. So when Jesus was on mission on this earth, he had to deal with the opposition from the enemy. And if you are not prepared, if I am not prepared to deal with the temptations that are going to come our way, we will get off mission. We will not be doing what God wants us to be doing. So please turn in your Bibles. Every Sunday we take time in God's Word because we believe God's Word is what changes us. Matthew chapter 4, and we see the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. Now, this was right after Jesus got baptized in the Jordan River, he then goes up into the Jericho region or the wilderness region, and Satan tempts him. So for 40 days, he's in this wilderness, and Satan comes at him. So let's stand for the reading of God's Word, Matthew chapter 4. It says here, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. And he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again the devil took him to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and he said to him, all these I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, begone, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray right now that in this room, I know there have been attacks by the enemy. There have been temptations that have been given into. There have been lambs that have gone astray. I thank you, Lord God, for your grace and for your mercy, that you love us and you never stop loving us. But Lord God, it's my prayer today that we would be men and women of victory, that we would understand that there is power over the enemy. There is an ability that you give your children to say no to the enemy. And Lord God, would you equip us today to be victorious? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. Each Sunday we're going to hear a story of someone in our church family that has actually lived out this word we're going to talk about today. As we move today from temptation to victory, please listen as one of our men shares his story.
Temptation. I have been tempted, I could say, from birth. Every one of my male models, male role models, have been addicted to alcohol. I became somebody that I wasn't proud of. I didn't want to be that person. I didn't like it. I didn't like waking up and feeling horrible about what I had done. It was tough for me because I wanted to go away from the sin, from the temptation, but I really did not know how. I had tried several times to go to places that rehab where they tell you about how to stop drinking or how to go away from the drinking, but it was all just talk and suggestions. It wasn't, they didn't get to the root of the problem. They didn't get to the root of where the temptation came from. What happens is the devil, the enemy, is pouring these lies onto you, telling you, you're not good enough. Go and have a drink. It's going to make you feel better. After I got married to my beautiful wife, that I lost everything. And one night when she was having dinner with her sister in Seattle, I gambled all of our earnings. Every single thing that we had, everything was gambled away. Everything that was in savings, everything that was in checking, everything was gone. And I was drunk, and I thought I was doing what I was supposed to, being in that sin.
Satan is a master of the trap door. Satan is the author of weak moments. Satan waits until your back is turned and your defense is down. He aims at your weakest point when you're tired, discouraged, lonely, and hurting. He is like a lion that is sneaking up in the grass. He is a spider weaving a web. He's a serpent waiting for the right moment to attack. He is a filthy fly buzzing around your head. And we have an enemy. So you might decide at some moment with your relationship with God, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to be on mission with Jesus. I'm going to follow him with all that I have. Now get ready. Because when Jesus was on mission on this earth, he faced direct challenges or temptations from the enemy. And I believe it wasn't just the 40 days in the wilderness. It was throughout his 33 years on earth, he was attacked by the enemy. So as I get into how Jesus responded and learn from his response, then I, as his follower, can stay on mission. And I can find the victory that Jesus found when I am challenged by the enemy. So now, what does this look like? Well, I want you to be very clear this morning. It is God's plan for your life. It is God's plan for your life to have victory. Now, how do we know that? Because it was God's plan for his son, Jesus, to see victory in his life. So it says in Matthew 4:1, that Jesus was led up, now watch this, by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Like, and you have to go, what? Okay, now, I need you to know that God is not a tempter, but he has a plan. Let's talk about the wilderness for a moment. The wilderness was outside of the Jordan River up into the Jericho area. Above Jericho is this absolute desert, which we saw last week. Our team, that he spent 40 days being tempted by Satan, and he was with wild animals. It means there was no people around, according to Mark 1:13. And there was a supernatural presence there, both of demonic and of God's angels as well. But there's no people, just animal, wild animals. And it says in the word here that he was led up by the Spirit. And the word led there is actually a pretty strong verb. It means driven. Okay. So Jesus has got this amazing experience. He's baptized in the Jordan River, and the Holy Spirit comes upon him by a dove. You know the story. And the word from his Father was, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." I mean, you cannot get a higher moment. Okay, now, then after that high moment, the Holy Spirit says, "Okay, now, okay, you can see the dove coming upon Jesus. Oh, this feels so good. Okay, now let's go to the wilderness." Really? The same Holy Spirit that came upon him? The same Holy Spirit that looked like a dove and so gentle and so meek? Yeah, let's go to the wilderness. And so he was driven into the wilderness. Mark 1:14 actually uses that word. And sometimes we're face to face with the enemy. Now, did you know that it's the goal of God's Spirit, it's the goal of God's Spirit in the life of Jesus and in our lives, not to defeat Jesus? The purpose was not to bring Jesus down, but to give him an opportunity for victory. James 1:13, God is not the tempter, so he doesn't tempt anyone. And in 1 John 3:8, it says that the purpose of Jesus on earth was to destroy the works of the devil. So he is being driven into the wilderness not to experience defeat, but to give us an example of what it looks like to have victory over the enemy. Now, the Greek word in the New Testament for tempt or for trial is the exact same Greek word. Did you know that? Some of our English Bibles will translate it trial depending on the context, or it will translate it tempt according to the context. But what we see in this one word, trial or tempt, temptation, is really the source is the enemy, Satan, and his purpose is to destroy you. 1 Peter 5:8, he's a lion that is wanting to seek and to devour you. But the same moment of temptation from the enemy can also be from God, who has allowed it and put you in that situation so that you can get victory, 1 John 3:8. Erwin Luther, pastor at Moody Church, said these words, "Temptation is not a sin, it is a call to battle." So you are going to be tempted this week. I cannot stop it. That is not possible that you could live in a world without temptation. Okay, even in monasteries, monks face temptation. So it's not your location, it is what's going on in your heart, and the enemy is going to come after you this week. I just guarantee it. And I have found that Satan likes to come at us in two extreme ways. There are two big lies that the liar likes to tell. The first big lie that Satan likes to say to us is that God is mean and vindictive, and his main role is to just hover over you and to take all of your happiness away, and if you step out of bounds, he's going to pound you. Okay. And so some of you have this view of God, that you can never keep him happy, and I don't know what he wants. And so the devil wants you to believe that, so you'll give up on following God. He's just too hard to please. But the second lie that Satan likes to tell, and I think it's very common today, is that God really doesn't care what you do. God is too busy with the universe, and he's such a forgiving God, it doesn't matter how you live. And so some of you in this room are falling into temptation because you believed this lie, that God is too hard to please, so what's the point? Or this lie, that he doesn't really care what you do and he'll forgive you anyway. And are you following the logic of Satan? He is getting you to give up on the mission of Jesus and just doing what you want to do. I want you to know this morning that God's plan for your life is victory over sin. Don't give up. Number two, it is Satan's plan for Jesus to see defeat. So Satan is coming to Jesus in the wilderness, and he wants to defeat Jesus. Okay? Now, it's interesting. There's three very important stories in the Bible, and they're very similar on Satan's agenda. If you want to study this more thoroughly, you can find it in Matthew chapter 4, which we've read today, Matthew chapter 1, excuse me, number 2 in Genesis chapter 3, or number 3 in 1 John chapter 2. I have a chart here you can look at real quickly. In the temptation of Jesus, in the temptation of Eve in the garden, and the temptation that is described in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. And you're going to find that all three temptations of Jesus in the wilderness, the three temptations of Eve, and the three temptations that we experience from the world are all very similar. And we're going to try to unpack this in just a moment. Hebrews 3:13 says that Satan's agenda is to deceive you. He wants to deceive us and to fall into sin like a bait on a hook. He wants to bring us to a point where we do something stupid and we didn't realize we were going to do it until we're already there. Okay, I like the story of Ronald Thomas. Age 38, broke out of an Oklahoma prison, stole a van, and starts driving. It had enough gas in it for him to get 150 miles away from the prison. And it runs out of gas. Now what? I love Ronald Thomas's response. He goes to the store, asks to use a phone, because he didn't have a phone on him. He calls 911 and says these words. This is a true story. "I'm lost, I'm hungry, I'm tired, I'm out of gas. Would you come and get me?" You see, Satan kind of deceives us that this is going to be the best plan ever, and then we follow his lie, and we come to a place where we hit bottom. And so we call out to help. Now, there's three things that Satan's going to do in this story, and this pin doesn't work. Number one, he's going to chant, and this pin doesn't work. "Satan, I cast you out." Here we go. Oh, yeah, here we go. God's will, number one. He will challenge God's will for your life. You say, "Jesus, I'm giving you my life. I'm going to follow you and your mission for my life." And he'll say, "Do you really want to do that?" So it says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, the tempter came to him, "If you are the Son of God," which is very interesting because God the Father had just shouted from heaven, "This is my beloved Son." You remember that? So now, Jesus heard that, so now Satan says, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." Now, there's many desires we have in this world. The question about your choices should not be based on what you can do. Okay, there's a lot of things you can do this week, but that's not the question you should be asking. It's not what you can get away with. It's not what others are doing. It's not what the world says is okay, and it's not what I think I need. The driving question on your mind and on your heart today and this week should be, is this choice the will of God for me? Number one, nothing else should be mattering to you. And you have to ask yourself, is this the will of God for me now? Because I believe there are some things that are the will of God, but it's not now. And Satan wants us to rush something. And sometimes it might be a good thing, but we're doing it in the wrong way. And so what Satan is trying to do is to get us off the plan. My heart passion every day should be, I want the will of God today. John 4:34, Jesus says, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." Nothing else matters. Philippians 4:19 says, "My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." I don't have to take what is not mine. I don't have to go after what is not mine. I need to follow the will of God, and I know my needs will be met by God. He loves you, and he'll take care of your needs. So Satan likes to challenge the will of God. Number two is he likes to challenge God's word. So as he did in the Garden of Eden with Eve, well, did God really say? So it says here in the wilderness, the devil took Jesus to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. Now, this last week, we were able to be at Jerusalem, and we got to the pinnacle of the temple. Now, the temple is not there, but there's a wall around it, and there it is right there. The western wall goes this direction, the southern wall goes this direction, and right at that corner, they called it the pinnacle of the temple. And the reason is because Jerusalem kind of lays on a hill north to south. See, this is north, and that's south. Does that help you? Okay, good. And so it kind of goes a slope down, and so the retaining wall on the southern section had to be a lot taller on this side, and the southwest corner was the furthest drop. And so tradition says that that was the pinnacle of the wall, or the highest point of the wall. So the Word of God says, bring that picture back, that Jesus, the picture, not the words there. There it is. So that Jesus and Satan, now they were way over by Jericho, which is quite a few miles away, and that somehow, supernaturally, Satan says, let's go for a trip. And I don't think they walked. I think they just kind of appeared there. And now Jesus is in a physical body, and Satan is in a supernatural, he's an angel body, and somehow Satan says, I'm going to take you quickly here. And I don't know how that happened. There's no biblical explanation. But they left the wilderness of Jericho, and they immediately showed up here. Now, what's the temptation for Jesus? Okay, so this is what Satan says. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, or on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. So what's the temptation? Here is a visual moment where you can jump, Jesus. Let's do a little swan dive, Jesus. Let's fly off the wall here, Jesus. And let's just see, let's visually see the angels from heaven fly down and scoop you up. Wouldn't that be cool? And then all of a sudden you're rescued before you hit the ground, you know. And so it was a visual temptation. And it will be a test of whether or not your Father really cares about you. Some of you have listened to the lie of Satan that God doesn't care about you. And so the Word of God tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15 that one of the things we have to continually do is rightly handle the Word of truth. So when Satan throws a lie at us about whether God loves us or God cares for us or what the will of God is or what does the Word of God really say, what I need to do is get back to the Word of God. And I need to open up the Word and find out, okay, Satan said, what does God say? Now, the third thing he's going to challenge you on is to challenge you on God's worship. So when you are being attacked by the enemy, it's going to come in one of these three areas. It came this way for Jesus. So the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. So we were at Jericho this last week. I'm going to show you a picture. And there's a monastery. You can see it halfway up on the left corner where they believe that Jesus was tempted in this wilderness area. And can anybody see what's at the very top of that mountain? Okay, this is a revelation moment for you right now. It'll make this verse come alive. This was the highest point in this area, and Herod the Great had built a palace on the top of that mountain for one purpose, so that he could go to that palace and see all of his kingdom at one shot. And it says here in God's word, the devil took him to a high mountain, showed him the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And so Satan and Jesus are up at the top of that mountain, and they're looking down at the valley below and all the kingdoms that King Herod the Great had accumulated. And Satan throws a temptation at Jesus, and he gives him a false promise. By the way, every single promise that Satan gives you is a false promise. Did you know that? Every single one. So here's the false promise. Here's the empty promise. He says to Jesus in verse 9, all these I will give you. Really, Satan? Do you really think you have that? No, you don't. If you fall down and worship me. Do you want to know a theme of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is based on this question? Who will you worship? the challenge in the Garden of Eden, who are you going to worship? All the way to the book of Revelation, worthy are you, the Lamb of God. You are worthy of what? Worship. Okay. So what your temptation is going to be this week is, are you going to lift God up as the one you're worshiping? Or are you going to worship the things of this world? Romans 1:25 says, the temptation is to worship and serve the creature rather than the creator. All temptation that you're going to face this week will fall into one of these three categories. You're going to be tempted on what the will of God is. And if it's a good thing, you might be tempted to rush it faster than what is God's will. You're going to be tempted on what God's word really says. Believe the things of this world and their philosophies or the word of God. Or you're going to be tempted on who you're really worshiping or what you're worshiping. So now let's transition just for a moment. I want you to know that Satan has a plan for your life, and that's to defeat you. But from this story, we also learn that it's God's plan for Jesus to resist the enemy, and it's also God's plan for us to resist the enemy. And we can do it in three ways. Here it is. Number one, the mission that Jesus was on is directed by the Word of God. If you want power over the enemy, you need to understand that it will be the Word of God that's going to direct your path. Matthew 4:4, Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone. Okay, so all of my physical desires and all of my physical passions and all my physical pleasures, and Satan says, yeah, let's make this your will today. Do what you want. Be you, which is a phrase I'm hearing a lot in our culture, which turns my stomach. Because that should not drive my life. What should drive my life is what is the will of God for my life? And what does the Word of God say about the will of God? So, try to remember this week. Your spiritual walk with Jesus should guide your physical choices. Okay, not the other way around. We tend to flip it upside down. I want to do what I want to do, and then maybe fit in Jesus somewhere, you know, in the basement, okay? Why don't we just flip it around and put Jesus at top and let him guide your life, and then he will take care of your physical needs. Do you know that God knows your needs? Matthew 6:8. And the angels do come and minister to the needs of Jesus in this wilderness. So he's physical, he's 100% human, and he has human needs, and the angels come and do minister to him in Matthew 4, verse 11. So God knows you, and he will take care of you. You don't have to be afraid, but be aware that the Word of God needs to direct your path. Number two, the mission that Jesus is on is protected by the Word of God. So Matthew 4:7, it says, Jesus said to him, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Okay, so we tend to lack faith, and so we hear the words of God, but then we go, well, I don't know. God, maybe you have to prove yourself. Well, I know you promised something, but maybe you need to prove yourself by answering my prayers the way I want. And then we throw in this toward God, and I know I've fallen into this trap. God, if you're really there, you have to answer my prayer, my way, my timing, my results, and oh, by the way, now. Okay? And we do this with God so often. And what Satan wants you to believe is that you're in charge. And yet the Word of God tells me that if I follow His Word will be not only my guide, but it will be my protection to stay on the path. Okay. Number three, the mission of Jesus that he was on was established by the Word of God. So Matthew 4:10 says, then Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan. I love that. Now, I don't think you should walk around and say, be gone to Satan, you know, out loud while you're walking through the mall. That could be interesting. But you know the moments that you're being challenged. And instead of playing around with Satan and his temptation, you need to take a stand and say, I am worshiping Jesus today. All of my choices will be worshiping Jesus today. All of my path will be worshiping Jesus today. And I'm not listening to you today. James 4:7, it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, I believe there's some diversity in how you should handle temptations. Okay, now listen to this. Some temptations, I believe, must be taken by the throat as David killed the lion. Okay, don't mess with it. Just take it down. Say, I'm not even getting there anymore. Some temptations need to be stifled as David hugged the bear to death. And I don't know for sure if he did that, but I just want to, you know, a bear hug. It's kind of a visual picture. Some temptations need to be shut up like David stopped Goliath in his tracks. Goliath had a big mouth. He was trash-talking David and the people of Israel. And David said, okay, are you done talking yet? Okay, you're not done talking. You're still trash-talking to me. I'll just take this rock and I'm going to take you down. So sometimes you just have to say no more. And some temptations need to be avoided, like David leaving Saul's presence and escaping. And so you need to be in prayer and say, Lord God, I want the Word of God to guide me. I want the Word of God to protect me. I want the Word of God to be my foundation for my life. And so now I need wisdom and discernment. Is this a temptation I need to get in the face and say, be gone, Satan? Or is this a temptation I need to run from as fast as I can? And I believe the Lord will show you what that looks like. So now, this next couple weeks, we're going to talk about his mission, the mission of Jesus, and then my mission. And today we learned that Satan also has a mission for your life, and you have the power to get victory over his temptations so you can stay on track with the mission of Jesus. Please watch this.
So when my wife got back from Seattle and she realized that everything was gone from our bank accounts, she just hugged me and told me that she loved me. And she said, all you need is Jesus. And I immediately went into our bedroom and I fell to my knees and I began to pray, Jesus, if you really exist, if this is really you, I pray that you change me. The devil is lying to you. There is victory. You just have to take the steps. You have to believe in Christ. So the more I got focused on the Bible and learning about Jesus, the temptation started going away. The more I put God in my life, the less temptation. More God, less temptation. So Jesus has given me victory over temptation, and it's been over 12 years since I have been clean and sober. And it's wonderful knowing that all you need is Jesus.
There's victory in Jesus. This coming week in your life group, I encourage you to dig into this story a little bit more. Find out where your temptation areas are. And seriously, find some scriptures that can become the PowerPoints for you of how you can resist the temptation. And then seriously pray for each other, because we need each other. We need to be praying for one another. This battle is real. Lord God, I thank you for the power we have in Christ and the victory we have in Christ. And where there is defeat, we thank you for the grace of Christ and his forgiveness. In the name of Jesus, I pray.